Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Middle Age Gaming. It's me, Adam, and Antoine. I guess I should say it's us, Adam and Antoine. Korean, unfortunately, cannot make it today, so he will not be here. But we two are here. He will be adding his news later on in the week, so you can see it in the long-form content. It'll be showing up on the channel. But for today, right now, in the live show, it's just going to be Antoine and myself. So, unfortunately, we're going to be starting off with some bad news on my end today, talking about Bungie. If Bungie, you probably know them from Halo. They are also the company that makes Marathon. They were also the guys that made the original Oni game, if you played that back in the day. And unfortunately, there have been some layoffs at Bungie quite recently. And this is part of what I'm going to be talking about in my next part of news. But basically, what's happened is... Long story short, Bungie has not been performing as well as PlayStation had originally hoped they would be. Their revenue is down around 45% this year. And because of that, then PlayStation or Sony went to Bungie and they said, hey, you guys, you are not performing as well as we were expecting. And because of that, you're going to have to make some cuts. You're going to have to figure out what to do about that because the amount of money that's being pumped in we're not getting that back out. So Bungie decided that the best way to save money was to cut some of their staff. So they've fired about 100 people. And unfortunately, the way they went about it was not the best because a lot of people went into work that morning and were told, hey, we're going to have a meeting. And in that meeting, they were informed, oh yeah, by the end of the day, you're not working here anymore. Get your stuff together. And they were saying by the time they were out the door, all their email accounts, all their passes, everything had been canceled before they were even out the door that day. Other people were saying that they were informed by email where they woke up basically in the morning, checked their email in the morning, and it says, oh, yeah, you don't work for us anymore. So it was a bit sudden. A lot of people are very upset with the way that this was handled, despite the fact that they even beyond losing a job, just the way it was done. So, yeah, it's not looking good. And... oddly enough, this has caused Bungie to delay the newest Destiny 2 expansion. I believe it is The Final Shape is the next one. And it's been delayed until late 2024 or something like that. Yeah, so it's a really an odd situation because normally you would get rid of people when you have extra staff and you're trying to cut costs. Here, they're cutting staff and it's actually causing them to not even be able to get their products on time. So it's a really weird time to be cutting staff. But unfortunately, the last Destiny expansion did not do very well, as I said. And Bungie was put in charge of factions they were supposed to consult Naughty Dog on the factions expansion, the multiplayer aspect of The Last of Us 2, and apparently Bungie made some decisions there that have caused that to be delayed quite a bit, which it's still not out. And because of it, some people ended up getting let go. And unfortunately, it was not the people higher up making those decisions. It was, of course, the lower level people, mostly, I believe, artists and that sort of thing. So,
yeah, no, that's sad, but... the way they were laid off, I imagine Bungie is an American studio, or at least most of the people laid off. That's not typical to video games industry or something. It's just the American way, right? In the companies I was working for previously, some managers which were performing well and have been working for the company for 10 years plus at a meeting on a Tuesday, think, you did great this fiscal year, fantastic. So we are starting a new fiscal year. Oh, by the way, by Friday, pick up your stuff and go. It's very American to do this, and it's a terrible way to do this. To fire people in France or in Europe, you need lots and lots of procedures to do this, and it takes at least 3 months. Anyway, that's just how it is. And Destiny was a big game of Bungie, I imagine. It was doing quite well, Destiny 2, right?
Destiny's been a kind of a weird thing where when Destiny first launched it pretty well, but then once the game after it was out, a lot of people lost faith in it for a long time because it just made a bunch of really bad decisions. And then finally, by the time they got to their final expansion or the final two expansions on the original game, they won back a new audience. Some people had returned, some people were brand new and hadn't been there since the beginning. Yeah, but they had a pretty good reputation at the end of Destiny 1. And then when Destiny 2 came out, they just 180'd a lot of the decisions that fixed some of the issues in the first Destiny. And so when the second one came out, a lot of people jumped back in and then were like, wait, you guys are just making all the same mistakes again. And so a lot of people didn't come back. And then their expansions, some of them have been up, some of them have been down, but the most recent expansion was a pretty low point and they lost a lot of player retention. So a lot of the players were like, we are not satisfied with the way things are going. We are not happy with a lot of the decisions being made. And even a lot of the choices that Bungie does on a not necessarily game development side, but more like a PR side. For example, if they're picking certain causes that they want to champion and they say, oh, we really believe strongly in this or we really believe strongly in that on social media, a lot of times they'll come out and they'll say one thing for one group and then some people are like, hey, you know, this group needs recognition. We want to recognize that. And Bungie's like, just remain silent. And so at times it seemed a little bit tone deaf with where they're like, oh, we're going to do this. And then the audience is, like, oh, hey, we want you to talk about this issue or this cause. And they just don't, or they even come out and say, no, we don't agree with that. And we're never going to do that.
Little issue with the community managers there.
Yeah, it's not the community. I don't think it's community managers necessarily. I think it's more
higher up decision. Yeah.
Because, like, for instance, I don't think they've done anything for this recent Palestine-Israel conflict kind of thing. But it would be the kind of thing where they would pick a side. And in certain instances, they would pick a side. And that's going to, you know, maybe make part of the player base happy, but it's going to alienate the other side. And so they would make a decision like that, and they would make a hard decision. And so because they pick that side, and then because they pick something like that, and then maybe you get a similar, not similar, but you get something like, say, Russia and Ukraine or something like that. These are examples. These are not actually things they did, but it would be like you might pick a side in the Russian-Ukraine thing, and then you champion it, and you're like, oh, yeah, we believe in this. And then the next thing comes along, like Israel and Gaza, and then they say, oh, no, we're not touching that. And it's, why did you bother touching this other one? But this other one, they have a habit of alienating people quite often on that end. I think that was partially caused some dissatisfaction among the player base as well. But
we can only hope for them that the next extension is going to be selling like hotcakes and going to fix their mistakes.
Yeah, a lot of people were hyping up the newest expansion, so it looked like maybe, because the previous one had not been good, so a lot of people were looking forward to it, and I think the fact that it got delayed is actually causing a lot of people to lose faith in a bit. It's causing a lot of people where they're like, oh, what are you guys doing over there? Yeah, that's the other thing too, is I saw, for instance, one of the people who had been laid off, I think he worked, I don't remember if he worked in art. Some of them have worked in art, some of them have worked in the music, I think. But there was one person who posted on it and they were really mad. And a lot of people went in and said, okay, I'm canceling my pre-order for this expansion as a show of solidarity for the people. Hey, you can't do this to people. But the irony is that by doing that, the people who are still there are now under threat because the thing that has become even less profitable. So a lot of the people who have been laid off have said things like, hey, don't cancel your pre-orders and that sort of thing, because we still have a lot of friends at Bungie. This is not the lower level people it's the lower level people who are suffering, but it's the higher level people making these decisions. When you cut the costs, or when you don't pre-order, you cancel pre-orders, the higher ups, they're not going to take a cut out of their paycheck. They're going to fire more low level people. Don't do that, because you know you're not going to hurt the people you want to hurt. You're going to hurt more people like us. Don't do that. We worked hard. Our friends have worked hard. Continue to support. If maybe don't support Bungie in the future, but if you've already done it, we've already done the work on that and whatnot. So don't necessarily do this.
All right. Maybe some, let's move on some lighter news. Yeah. Maybe not the best story to start the show. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I have a roller coaster today of good news and bad news.
Ah, fair enough. For me, not for you, of course, but for me, I'm just off the Halloween candy hunt with my kids. So it's very much Halloween for me. And therefore, most of my stories will be Halloween related. And I started with, and it's actually on right now, with a Silent Hill Ascension story. So it's a video game which is more of like a TV show. We talked a bit with Adam before the show, but we're going to recap a bit here. So that's, I know, interactive TV show just for my kids when they watch Carmen Sandiego or something. You have the story coming on, going on, and then two choices appears on TV and they have to choose what the characters are going to do next. It's the same, basically, on Silent Hill Ascension. You have, so it's going to start with Mystic Community Leader Rachel Hernandez performing a cult ritual on a new member. And then it goes really badly, of course. And then players, basically the audience, is going to choose where the story goes. So if you want to participate in this, you need to have a free Silent Hill Ascension account to participate in this game. You can have it through mobile with the GenVid website, or just search online, or on desktop on the ascension.com website. And it's free, and it should be fun. Even if I'm not a big fan of Silent Hill, I'm very likely gonna take a look at it. And it was the premiere tonight, Halloween night, of course, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So right now, the show only started 40 minutes ago for me. So go to see Ascension and then come back on this on our website to finish the video later. You can do this as well. We don't mind. I'm not sure there's many live people anyway.
Aww, that's probably true. But yeah, no, I think this is really cool. I love that Silent Hill is getting a revitalization recently. They're doing this. We're getting the new Silent Hill game. Silent Hill 2 Remake is coming out. I actually never got a chance to, but I had always wanted to play Silent Hill The Room. And then I guess it was because I started streaming Nioh in October, and I was debating what game should I play for October. I want something that's got ghosts or zombies or demons or something. And I had Nioh in the backlog, and so I was thinking about doing that. But then I saw GOG had it was like 90% off or something like that on Silent Hill The Room. I think it's Silent Hill 4 The Room. And I was like, oh, I should play that. And then I was like, okay, I'll grab it soon. And then I went to buy it, and I guess the sale had already ended, or it was like a flash sale or something. And I was like, no. So then I was like, oh, I already have Nioh in the backlog. I'll just knock that out. But I almost played Silent Hill as my Halloween game this year. So maybe next year. Although I think I might go with Project Zomboid. I saw some gameplay of that, and I'm like, that looks right up my alley. So maybe I'll do that next year.
Isn't Project Zomboid the one which is super fun as a multiplayer?
It can be multiplayer, yeah.
Oh, you should get Korean to play with you.
Yeah.
I know it's never going to happen, but that would be fun.
Oh, no, that'd be a lot of fun. You can build your own little base and everything. But yeah, no, so
he would scream.
He might. I it's not scary because it's this little pixel art thing, but the atmosphere is really intense.
It's really cool, yeah.
Yeah. So it's
always
like,
running out of medicine and water and stuff like this.
Yeah, and like blind spots and yeah. The atmosphere is really creepy.
I'd love to play with you on this. I'm sure Phil would like to play with us.
I'm sure he would. Yeah, maybe we can do that next October. Yeah, maybe.
In a year.
Yeah, but as far as Silent Hill goes, yeah, I'm a huge Silent Hill fan. I would say of between Silent Hill and Resident Evil, I'll pick Silent Hill every day.
Oh, nice. A lot of people are saying this, actually. It's just that I'm not exactly sure why I haven't played. I know Resident Evil from the PlayStation games, right, of course.
Silent Hill was PlayStation 2.
As well? PlayStation first?
PlayStation 1. Silent Hill, the first one was PlayStation 1, I think. Second one was PlayStation 2, for
so
sure.
Not exactly sure.
2, 3, and 4 were all PlayStation 2. Okay. And then there's Downpour, I think, was PlayStation 3 and Xbox, I think.
Yeah.
And then there was one on the PSP. I think it's Shattered Memories.
Yeah, I don't know why Resident Evil was very popular and Silent Hill didn't.
They were both very popular, but they're both very different approaches to horror. Resident Evil is more like your traditional zombie movie, but it's more scientific-based. Whereas Silent Hill is probably, I guess you could even say, more Lovecraftian, where it's more paranormal and more psychological. Resident Evil is more about action and fighting a big, scary monster, whereas Silent Hill is more about atmosphere and something jumping out of the dark at you. So there were a lot more enemies, I would say, like in Silent Hill, where you're not necessarily encouraged to fight them off. You're encouraged to get around them. Yeah.
Between both, I would play Evil Dead. No, not Evil Dead.
I mean, they're both good, but they're both very different in their own way. Yeah, they're both very distinct.
Okay, let's move on to your second story.
Sure. My second story is a little more upbeat than my first one. And that is that if you are a PlayStation fan like me, then you might be a little bit happy about this. Other people might not be. But I see this as a good thing, is that PlayStation is apparently making an about-face in a lot of ways. This is partially why it looks like Bungie might have had to lay off several people, unfortunately. But it looks like with Jim Ryan, he really thought that games as a service were the future. And so PlayStation had something like 12 or 15 games as a service in the pipes of games they wanted to come out. They had Factions. They had the Horizon Zero Dawn multiplayer game. They had a whole bunch of other things. But then that was Jim Ryan's big push. A lot of the studios under PlayStation were unhappy with this. They said, we're more used to making games like Ghost of Tsushima or Horizon Zero Dawn or Forbidden West or The Last of Us or Uncharted. This is our bread and butter. This is what we do. And these games as a service kind of model like Fortnite or Apex, that sort of thing, that's not really what we do. And forcing us into this, it made a lot of people unhappy. Now that Jim Ryan is no longer at PlayStation, a lot of the higher-ups said, you know what? If the developers feel more comfortable making these kinds of games, going back, Xbox was known as the multiplayer system. It was one of the first systems to implement four players. The N64, I think, had it too, but back in that era, Xbox could allow up to four people, and Nintendo could allow up to four people. PS2 could only have two people, right? It was established itself, especially with Halo and then later Gears of War, as the multiplayer machine. It was the game system that you would have at a frat house where a bunch of guys sat around together and played games. And PlayStation was known more for its single player games, for those more narratives, the RPGs and that sort of thing. And that was what they were known for. And both of them started branching out and bleeding into each other's territory. So now you get a lot of single-player games on the Xbox, and you have a lot of multiplayer games on the PlayStation. But it looks like as far as first-party games, PlayStation is looking to focus on where they cut their teeth and want to focus more on those single-player games again and not focus so much on these games-as-a-service games. What they did say they want to do is they said, we still do want to do games-as-a-service. We still want to have games like that, but instead of focusing on it ourselves, we're going to start working with third parties such as Sega, or I think they said Sega was one. I don't remember. From Software, I think, was another one. Like, for instance, From Software did Bloodborne. And they're saying, we want to work with third-party developers, and we're going to let them give them access to our IPs and let them do these games as a service kind of things rather than forcing our own studios to learn how to do it on their own. Let's get people that have experience. We'll loan them the IP, and then we can work together on this. So that seems to be where they're going to be going. So we are going to still get them. It's going to be done by people with experience, like maybe Capcom, who does something like Monster Hunter. Maybe with that kind of experience, we could say, hey, Capcom, we'd really love to make a similar game about Horizon, the Horizon world. Could you help us out here and doing that rather than all in-house? So I personally see this as a good thing. Unfortunately, it does mean that, like with, for instance, Bungie, the reason PlayStation bought Bungie was because they said, hey, we need their experience with Destiny to help out our other studios with their games as a service projects. And now they've about faced Bungie, we don't really need you in the same capacity we once did. So unfortunately, that means you guys are going to have to make some cuts on top of the fact that you're not performing as well as we had hoped. But yeah.
No, that's a fantastic game. News because I'd love Chronicle 5.
Yes.
Hi, Sega.
Or Chronicles 5. This is one of the things. Whenever I see online people like, who should Xbox acquire next? And people are like, Sega. I'm like, no, I want my Valkyria Chronicles 5. If you want to work with Sega and work on independent projects, if you guys want to like create, like for instance, back when PlayStation was doing Nier and Xbox was doing Scalebound, that's fine. Please do not buy them up. Like I can't play any Bethesda games on my PlayStation anymore, right? I can't play Fallout in the future. I'm gonna have to get it on PC. I can't play the Elder Scrolls. I'm gonna lose out on that. That's gone. I can't think of any. Yeah, I don't know. I don't play Diablo. If I wanted to, I might be losing out on that in the future, or any kind of. I usually didn't play Blizzard games. I played most of those on PC. I don't know why. Just for whatever reason, I played Blizzard games on PC, and I played Bethesda games on console. Don't ask me why I did that. That was just the way I did things. I know you should be playing Bethesda on PC at all times because of mods, but yeah, it's weird. But that was my way. But yeah, I don't want to be cut out of these things. And that's part of the reason why I don't want PlayStation to buy Square, because I do think Final Fantasy should be on Xbox. There's zero reason for it at this point. So they should definitely be doing that. I hope they do. But yeah, for Sega, I'm like, no. Valkyria Chronicles, I don't want to lose Valkyria Chronicles. That is, yeah, or Persona. That would suck too. I really hope nobody acquires Sega. I really hope they stay independent.
Yeah, just to go back to this, if we can have more new IPs like the Ghost of Tsushima, which
Yeah.
really blow everything out of the water a few years ago, hey, that's exactly what we want. Maybe the younger player base wants more game of service. Fortnite is more for a younger player. PUBG, Fortnite, Tarkov, all of this. But we really like these single players with a very good experience. So, yeah, good turnaround.
Yeah, no, it's a good turnaround. I think games as a service is one of those kind of, I'm trying to think of a good idiom for it, but I think it's one of those things where it's a real big gamble, because if you do become big like Fortnite or Roblox or Apex or something like that, it's a golden goose. You make a ton of money. It's super easily. But a lot of games as services die. Look at Bloodborne, or not, sorry, not Bloodborne. Battleborn. Look at Battleborn. That just up and died. And then what was it? Paragon. Gone. There was the other one. Smite is still around. League of Legends is still around, but they're not as big as they used to be. So if you can get a really big one, or the Blizzard one, the Heroes of the Storm, right? We had Dota, we had League of Legends. Blizzard tried to make Heroes of the Storm, which is basically the same kind of idea. That doesn't exist anymore. They canceled it because it wasn't making any money, because people were already playing League of Legends and Dota. So unless you're one of the big ones, yeah, I think it's a real big gamble, because you could either make a ton of money off of it, or you could be forgotten. And yeah, that's a huge investment for something that you need people to be playing, as opposed to something like Cyberpunk or Ghost of Tsushima, where, people can play this anytime. You don't have a window where you need to be successful. You can actually wait. So,
I like the little pun on your thumbnail.
the little
The
what?
auto gas. The little pun, the little play on word. The auto
Oh,
gas
out of
one.
gas, yeah.
Yeah, I was starting to wonder how many people are gonna understand it.
Games as
But
a service, GS. If you ever see GaaS, that's games as a service.
you
So yeah,
didn't put an
gas.
A too much, yeah. I just realized I just bumped my microphone, so Crayon's gonna yell at me again.
All right, so what's your
All
next
right.
story?
Not a surprising one because if you listen to this show, I'm cheap and I rarely buy games on day one. I usually wait to get some good deals, and of course, it's Halloween, so you have some Halloween special sales. I tend to talk about Green Man Gaming more than anything else, but here there's a Green Man and Humble are doing some very good things, good sale. So I picked two or three on each, but for the Green Man Gaming, the one I picked up, you have, oh yeah, The Evil Within 2. The Evil Within, that's the one I was thinking about, not Evil Dead. Okay. Evil Within, if you haven't played as a Halloween game, it's fantastic. It's a psychological horror, a bit more like a Silent Hill, I would say.
Okay.
Extremely good. It's at the crazy price of $5. If you want some expensive, usually expensive game, Ghostwire Tokyo, I heard it was a so-so. I think it was.
But I heard too.
Yeah, if you want to try it, it's at $16, so definitely don't buy it at 60. You have the Monster Hunter Rise and Sunbreak at $26 instead of 60. If you really like the classics, you have Quake 2 at $3. You have the Resident Evil 2 at $10. The 4, the one, the remake from 2023 at $35 instead of 60. Village is at $13. Vermintide 2 is at $6. I said I would do a 2 or 3, but there's really a lot of good deals. That was all Green Game. Green Man Gaming. On the Humble Bundle, you have the Warhammer 40k bolt gun, which was already not very expensive. Like you just get $7 out of it. But I haven't tried this one, but there's the Mega Man Collection, Volume 1 and 2, which came out at $60, right now it's at $40. And the one which I think is interesting in the Humble selection is Plague Tale Requiem, which is only at $25, so it's half price. And Plague Tale is a really good game. Did you do a Requiem? I know that you did the first one.
I did not play Requiem, no, not yet. I plan to, but it's in the backlog.
Terrible backlog. So yes, Halloween sale. I don't know exactly how long it's going to last, but usually it's about 3-4 days, maybe a week at most. So don't tally too much. If you want to rack up games for your backlog, now's the time. Remember, you have the Halloween sale. Soon you'll have the Black Friday sale, and then you'll have the Christmas sale. Please do not buy a game at full price these days. Except if it's something on the Switch, like your Detective Pikachu you really want for your kids, that's fine. You'll buy the newer games later. But yeah, I don't know if that's going to make your day, but it will definitely make mine.
Yeah, no, they got a lot of games out here. They have a few that are already in my Halloween backlog. We have Fatal Frame over here, and I'm like, oh, yeah. That was another game that I was debating on playing this year. I was disappointed, though, because Sony did their Halloween sale. Like you said, they do it like maybe a few days before Halloween. And I feel like they should have done it at the very beginning of October, because October is the whole Halloween month, and I feel like people could have played all throughout October rather than just waiting until right on Halloween to do it. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not in sales, so I don't know if that makes a difference or not.
It's not really Halloweeny, but in the selection there was a just Evolution 2, the theme park, which I really want. But if you want a really good game as well to play on Halloween, so we talked about Evil Within, but do you know the Cursed series? It's indie, it's ugly, it's really not pretty, but it's one of the best games to play on Halloween because the production value for such a small game is fantastic. It's really good. And just take a look at it because there's just too much to say on this specific game for me to start, and we would never finish the show. So just take a look. Cursed 1, 2, and 3. It's a very good series to play on Halloween.
Okay. You said Cursed 1 to 3? I have to look it up.
Doesn't look like much, but I can tell you that the story and all the little gimmicks, it's made with love and not with millions of dollars from Microsoft, definitely.
All right. I will have to check that out. Okay. So I guess we're moving on to the next story then. As I said, I got good news, bad news. I like my bad news first. I like to save my dessert for last. Moving on, some bad news, unfortunately. If you are an Xbox fan, recently, Xbox came out with an announcement that they will be, if you plug in an unauthorized peripheral into your Xbox, you're going to be getting an error. It will still work until, I think, November 12th. And then after November 12th, any kind of controller or anything like that is not approved by, that is not authorized by Xbox, will be locked out. So you will not be able to buy third-party peripherals that are not authorized by, or that are not officially endorsed, I guess would be the right word, by Xbox. And the reason for this that Xbox is saying is that they want to prevent cheating, because apparently there is a big problem with people getting controllers that are allowing people to cheat. I guess you might have like maybe a turbo button, or maybe if you're playing an FPS, a turbo button could allow somebody to rapid fire a pistol, like if it was a machine gun, that sort of thing. I know on Apex, one of the tricks that people were doing is they were putting the fire button on the scroll wheel on the mouse. So when you scroll up, each time it clicked, it would fire the gun again. So it's just like on a pistol, which was apparently a bit of a trick. But yeah, so they're not going to allow third-party peripherals now. For the most part, this probably shouldn't be too big of an issue. Most of the major third-party ones that you're going to hear about, like SCUF or that sort of thing, those are endorsed or approved by Microsoft, so that's not a big deal. However, one of the things that is an issue is for people that like games that use non-traditional peripherals, particularly fighting games, racing games, and flight simulators. So Brooks Gaming, they make a lot of fight sticks. And as they were saying is we have these fight sticks that you can use. They're designed to be like the old arcade systems with a joystick and all the buttons. These, because a lot of them are custom made and we do a lot of kind of customization and that sort of thing with them, they're a lot of them aren't approved by Microsoft. It's a long process. And because of that, a lot of them aren't approved. They work perfectly fine. But now if you have a custom fight stick on an Xbox, you're not gonna be able to do that. You're gonna have to buy a fight stick that's been approved by Xbox in order to do it. And for most of the controllers that you're gonna be using, it's just, you're probably not gonna have too big of an issue. But if you're the kind of person that likes, like I said, the fight sticks, if you like the driving simulator kind of rigs with the steering wheels and stuff like that, a lot of those are unofficial because people are like, hey, these are not major things that people are typically buying. These are more very niche. And because of that, they don't go through that approval process. Unfortunately, you might have a problem with things like that. I've seen a lot of people asking about if this is going to affect things like audio. So for example, if you're using maybe an unofficial headset, it looks like Microsoft has said, or not Microsoft, but it looks like Xbox has said, no, that should be fine. This is mostly for controllers. But yeah, so unfortunately, a lot of people do feel there's a lot of mixed reactions to this. A lot of people feel that this is a great thing because it is going to limit cheating and it's going to prevent cheating online. People feel that this is a great thing for fairness in online gaming. A lot of people feel that most of the cheating is probably done on a PC anyway. Most of the cheating is not done on console, so this shouldn't put a huge dent in it. But a lot of people feel it's anti-consumer because it means that I have fewer options for myself and it's not going to put a big dent in the cheating thing. So I don't know.
Yeah, you can't buy the cheap Chinese copy anymore.
Nope, can't buy the cheap Chinese copy anymore. Unless it's approved by Microsoft.
Yeah, like it will. No, but it's a shame for the Street Fighter arcade stuff because a friend of mine had the Street Fighter V stuff. It's a work of art. It was really pretty controller and I played with it a bit and it was really like the arcade back in the day and it was really fun to play on it and it's a really a shame to kill that off. Maybe they'll find a way to get it approved. Maybe it's like the Nintendo seal of quality. It's a lot of PR thing saying that it's for the quality of the game and everything. Truth of it, it's just for the money. Let's be realistic.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people think. Yeah.
Let's listen to the PR, but let's just think that it's, oh, what a shame you can't buy the Chinese copy of any $60, $70 official Xbox. It's against the cheating. Yeah. Take it with a grain of salt. We all know that ultimately it's just because they want to make more money.
Yeah, no, one of the things that somebody was pointing out online was if you got the unofficial, I think it was the Brooks Gaming controller, you can get them for as low as, I think, $30 US for the really cheap ones, whereas the lowest cost of the officially endorsed one was around $120-something dollars. So,
okay. Now that's a shame. That's a shame because that's really a lot of money. You already spent quite a lot of money buying your Xbox and your games, and now you can't even save money on this. And now playing is definitely not an easy hobby, a cheap hobby these days. So yeah, bad news. Are you gonna finish on a bad news?
No, the last one's good. Oh yeah, good ish.
Okay, fair enough. I'm gonna come out with some good news myself. As you know, that I have the Xbox Game Pass on PC. As well as Krian does now. I was able to convince him to get it, and I do think that he's enjoying it. And the Game Pass additions for the first part of November actually got me very excited because there are some very few good games. First one would be Football Manager 24, because my soccer team sucks so much. I need to take the reign of my own team to make them suck even more, but that's different because I can save and redo the game. But yeah, definitely I'm frustrated with my football team. That's always a game I'm going to play every year. A gone game. Apparently there's a lot of day one game, or if I have no clue which ones are day one or not. But do you like the Yakuza series? Of course. Everybody likes the Yakuza series, if you know the Yakuza series, because somehow it doesn't feel as well known as it should be. There will be, like a Dragon Gaiden, The Man Who Erased His Name. So it's going to come out on November 9th. It's fantastic. So it's going to be very fun. There will be, oh yes, my little favorite, Dungeons 4. If you ever play the Dungeons, do you know a bit how it is?
Is it Dungeon Keeper?
Yes and no. It's the unofficial sequel of Dungeon Keeper. It's extremely meta, so you laugh a lot with your character. And in terms of gameplay, it's very special because you always have the underground world where you create your dungeon, you know, spawn your demons, spawn your army, kick the heroes who are trying to come and conquer your dungeon. And then once your underground is secure, you go up in the ground level, I would say, to accomplish your mission, usually destroy the hero's base. And Dungeons 3 was a gem. It was really good. Dungeons 4 is coming out November 9. It's going to be great. After that, you have Coral Island, which is already available at this time. So this, I think it's really just for the Xbox Series X and S. Not something I would recommend myself because I'm not a Stardew Valley fan. I find it fun for an hour or two and then I get bored. If you like Stardew Valley though, Coral Island is Stardew Valley-like that you might enjoy spending some time on. If that's your stuff, not mine. Definitely, I'm going to be much more like on Dungeons 4 and Football Manager once I can put Sea of Stars to rest, which these days is very difficult because I just don't have time to play. But yeah, no, some very good game. I was a bit disappointed by the October games. The early November, that's heavy, right? That's really good games. And three games on the Game Pass, you already paid back your subscription three times. So always a good deal.
I don't have a Game Pass, so I'm old fashioned that way. I buy my games.
Fair enough, but look, Football Manager $60, Like a Dragon $60, maybe $40, Like a Dragon. I'm not sure. Dungeons, it's not going to be full price anyway. Just three games, and you're already at $150 mark.
Yeah, no, it's a great deal. Yeah,
compared to the $10 it cost me to yeah, it's economically speaking, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I'm losing you a bit.
I know, I lost you a bit too. You were choppy there for a second.
Just to let you. Okay, good. Yeah, because just before the show, that's why we're a bit late today. That's my fault. We had the internet cut in my area. Not sure if it's because of Halloween or whatever, because it's starting to get very cold right here. So I don't know if it's playing tricks on my internet, but let's hope I'm not going to cut out before the end. I'm done with my stories, at least. So I said my part, but I really want to hear the last good story of Adam, because there's two bad stories in a row.
I don't know if this one's necessarily a good story, but it's not a bad one. So yeah, I guess it's just a story. So what happens is now Xbox has a new president, and that might confuse some people because the people are thinking, wait, so Phil Spencer is stepping down? No, Phil Spencer is not stepping down. He is the CEO of Microsoft's gaming, I guess, department. So he's actually CEO of all Microsoft gaming. That includes PCs and Xbox. This is just Xbox, just the Xbox division. They are having a new president. Her name is Sarah Bond. If I remember correctly, let me make sure I get her name. So her name is Sarah Bond. She was previously the Xbox corporate vice president, but now she is president of Xbox. And Matt Booty, who was the previous president of Xbox, has now been moved up to president of game content and studios. So he is still going to be under Phil Spencer. Phil Spencer is still the top of all of Microsoft gaming. That means Xbox. That means PC. That means Game Pass, everything. This is Sarah Bond is purely the president for Xbox. But if you are an Xbox fan, then you should probably familiarize yourself with the person who's going to be in charge moving forward. So I figured we should share that news, and congratulations to her. I'm sure that's a really cool position to be in, to be president of, say, Xbox or Nintendo or whatever. But real cool.
Congrats, Sarah. You have a lot of work ahead of you. Sure, it knows that. So
yeah.
Congrats for the promotion.
Yeah, and she's been vice president for a while. She has the experience, and I'm sure she'll do fine.
Absolutely. That's all we can hope for her.
That's right. And that's basically all the news I have on that.
Good. Basically it for the day. Are you still playing streaming Neo?
Yes. No, yeah. I feel bad because I streamed it on Monday morning, which would be Monday morning here, which would be Sunday evening stateside. And I actually got a couple people in the chat, so that was exciting. And that made me very happy. And I was like, all right. And I said, yeah, I'm gonna try to stream tomorrow. And hopefully I'll see you guys in, which I understand was Halloween. Here in Taiwan, Halloween means almost nothing. It just means a couple decorations in stores and schools do maybe one activity. But I meant to do it. And then Tuesday morning, I woke up and I'm looking at the clock and it's 10:40. And I was like, I was supposed to be streaming 40 minutes ago. And I'm just waking up now. So then I was like, I don't think it's going to happen today. So sorry I missed that. I should hopefully be back on my Friday evening, which will be your guys' Thursday. Sorry, my Friday morning, which should be your guys' Thursday evening. So hopefully I will be back. But yes, I am still streaming Neo. I looked it up. There should be 7 chapters in the main game. I think the main game has 7 chapters or 7 like areas, and then there's 2 or 3 for DLC. But I should be in area 5 of 7, so I'm getting closer to the end. But this game's a lot longer than I thought it was going to be. I thought this was going to be like a relatively quick and short game. It's long.
But more important, do you have fun with it?
Sometimes, yeah. No, it can be frustrating at times, especially now. It started off, it was really frustrating, and then I hit my stride, and now it's getting a little bit frustrating again, just because it is a Souls-like game, and when you start off, it's tough, because enemies can kill you pretty quickly, and I would see they have this big monkey yokai, and I think it's called an Enki, and that thing would just decimate me. It was like effectively a mini boss. And now I see him all the time and I'm just like wasting them, destroying them. But then, so it starts off, things are really hard. And then you start to learn enemies' patterns. You start to get used to it. You start to get into a groove and things start getting easier. But now I'm starting to feel like enemies are getting more spongy, where I'm fighting these same enemies, but I feel like it's taking me longer to kill them than it did previously. So I don't know how their levels are scaling, but yeah, I feel like I could safely take a hit or two from a certain enemy and kill him in, say, 8 to 10 hits. And now I'm feeling like that same enemy is able to kill me in 2 or sometimes even 1 shot me, but it's taking me like 15 to 20 hits to kill him. So I'm not quite sure what's going on there. Maybe my build is just weird. I'm a glass cannon. I try to avoid damage when I can. But I feel like that should have traded off, where I should be able to kill enemies a lot faster. They should be able to kill me a lot faster, but I should be able to kill them a lot faster. But I feel like I'm killing them more slowly and they are killing me faster. So it's a weird, yeah. But I am enjoying the game. I'm having the same thing where with Armored Core, where I'm like, I'm really enjoying playing the levels. I'm really enjoying clearing it out and clearing out all the fodder. And then you get to the boss and then the boss fight is kind of like, oh, this is going to drag on for a while. But yeah, if I do a level, I might spend an hour and a half, and 45 minutes of that is getting through the level. And then 45 minutes of that is just fighting the boss. So yeah, but overall I'm having fun. Yeah.
No, I'm having a thought, because I really like to review the games after playing it. So maybe after you finish the game, do you want to have a 1 hour show off schedule just to review, give your impression on it? Sure. On it and put a mark, a bit like IGN does, but with someone who actually played the game.
Because I'll put it in 5 hours and then they're like, okay, let's
yes, review. Journalists tend to do this. And as soon as they encounter the boss, which usually is called the journalist filter, the one that you can't easily kill, they say, okay, that's where I'm done. Draw up the review, and that's it. Because of course I have to review so many games.
Yeah.
Because they can't spend, you know, that much. So yeah, I was thinking maybe something this could be interesting.
Yeah. And the bosses are really interesting too. Because I think one thing I do is the boss design. Because I do feel like the bosses do skill check you a bit. Like for instance, I was fighting, I'm trying to think of 3 bosses ago. Oh, I fought this giant owl thing and it wasn't that big of a deal. I faced several bosses in a row. And they weren't that big of a deal. I defeated them relatively easily. It took me 1 or 2 tries. I get to this one guy, and by default, he puts up his guard all the time, and he's blocking quite a bit. And because of that, like, just the way that I couldn't hit this guy very easily, because I'm a fast kind of guerrilla fighter build, but I'm, like I said, I'm a glass cannon, and this guy just I could not, I spent hours on this guy. He was so hard out for me, for my build, because he's tanky and me, I have to break that defense and I have to make sure that he cannot touch me. And that was just a really tough thing, because he is a bit slow when he's defending, but then he like does a really quick attack and then he goes back to defending. And I was just spent like 2 hours on this guy. And then I go to the next boss and it's this giant spider thing and it's difficult, but it's not that bad. And then I get to this next boss and it's this really fast kind of cat on wheels thing. And I just decimate it in my first try. And then I get to the boss that I'm on now and he seems a little more balanced for my build. So yeah, I don't know. It's interesting because yeah, there are certain things where it's like my build just snap, they're gone. And the tankier guys, I'm just like, so I do appreciate that they did that. I do wish that sometimes I do wish that there were difficulty settings, but yeah, overall I'm enjoying it. If they make a Neo 3, I might play. If they make a Neo 3, I'll probably play it, but not right away.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I'm going to need a break after this game.
Yeah, I get it. Before we wrap up, as usual, like, share, comment our live, our videos, look at our short and long format. It really helps us, of course. Tell us if you would like to have a long 1.5 hour feeling of a review and feeling of a game, because I'm actually thinking could be very interesting. And we'll organize that. And thanks everyone for watching. I wish you all a very happy Halloween, if it's still Halloween in your part of the world. And I guess that's all for me, or that's all for us tonight.
Yeah. Like Antoine was saying, this is one of the things that, like I said, I had some people in chat on Monday, and on Tuesday I was thinking, I should have asked. But if there is content that you guys enjoy and you want to see us play or want to see us do or want to see us talk about, yeah, leave comments and we'd be more than happy to accommodate your guys' wishes, I guess would be the word.
Perfectly.
All right. Catch you guys later. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Good night. Bye.